the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. City councillors are busy finalizing the new city budget, which this year began the start of a new four-year, multi-year budget that was finalized back in February. So today I'm talking with City Hall reporter Jack Moulton about some of the recent public participation feedback councillors received and what Londoners are telling the city that they want to see money spent on. Hey, Jack, how are you?
Good, Rachel. It's that time of year again.
Yes, you're at City Hall a lot and for a long time. I know. So we're happy that you could make time for us today because I know that you're very busy. So this year, 2024, was the start of a new four-year budget, which is a fairly recent thing. And the last, you know, the last one was the first one, right? The last four-year budget was the first one. Give us a high-level overview, just a general overview of how this four-year budget works.
Right. So as you mentioned, back in February, talks started for setting this new four-year budget. That's somewhat of a novel thing in Ontario. A couple other cities do it, but the intention is to basically have a blueprint for the city to work off of and have an idea of what it wants to spend its money on, so it doesn't sort of have to rehash those details every single year. Mm-hmm. And so the new four-year budget was set in February, and now council's coming back to make some tweaks for the upcoming year, 2025. That's to factor in any unforeseen changes, any adjustments that need to be made, you know, as time goes on. That's still baked into the process that they revisit every year.
Okay.
But it's more geared towards those little tweaks as opposed to, you know, major overhauls of spending.
Okay, so the tax hike increase for 2024 is already set and done. That was set in February?
That's right, and that was set at 8.7%.
Okay, so what are we sitting at for 2025? Because I know council's had a lot of talks already, and we're nearing the end of this, but what is the tax hike sitting at right now?
So right now, the tax hike is sitting at 7.4%. That's been brought down a little bit from what it was set at for this coming year back in February. Mm-hmm. It was originally going to be 8.7 as well. So two 8.7s in a row. But after Mayor Josh Morgan tabled the budget this year, he said, you know what, you know, the city's gone through its own books, trimmed some money where it can. I know London Transit Commission brought back about $1.5 million in savings. And in conversation with the general manager there, that was attributed to the fact that they thought tuition fares would be a little bit lower this year with the caps that the federal government is bringing in on international students, but that didn't come to pass, at least for this coming year. So they were able to save a little bit of money from what they forecast there. Another big one was London Police. They gave the city back $850,000 that they are going to pull from their own reserve funds. So a little bit of relief here and there, and a couple other things, including, and I'm sure we'll talk about, the city looking to cut community grants potentially by like half. Those are the major ones.
The main ones.
A couple
yeah.
different things here and there.
Sure. So they had a public participation meeting this week. And again, this is near the end of the council, you know, deliberations for things. It seems like this participation meeting was fairly late in the game, is it?
It is. They still held one before councillors are formally set to weigh in on Thursday, the 21st, November. Mm. So that's a little bit of a change up from, I believe, when we last spoke about the public meeting in the winter, where there was one meeting very early in the process and one just a couple days before everything was finalized, yet mm-hmm. after the meetings where council picked everything apart. So they're ahead of that here, but not by okay. much. But, you know, it just sort of speaks to the more streamlined process that this year-by-year update brings. You know, it's meant to be a more efficient process since they're not really overhauling everything.
Right.
But yeah, a little late in the process, but still able to make their case to councillors before they yeah. really sit down and go through everything.
Start picking it apart. Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that Londoners brought to chat about at this recent meeting. Start with the ARC Aid, funding for ARC Aid, which offers beds to those who are homeless. What were some of the concerns for that? What was the discussion there?
Right. So that's been one of the bigger ticket items of discussion this budget cycle. As I'm sure many readers, avid readers are aware, we've reported on this a lot. ARC Aid Street Mission, a local shelter agency, was looking to basically make 90 of its shelter beds from last winter, which were extended through most of the year up until the end of December here, basically looking to make them permanent. They argue that it's a cost savings for the city to keep these open year round, as opposed to for a few months where they have to hire staff, they have to buy a bunch of supplies, they have to rent out a space, but then also spend money getting rid of all those things. They say if, you know, there's a consistent stream of funding year round, that's a cost savings. And so they were looking for $4.3 million annually to run 60 beds at the Cronin Warner building on William Street. That's Midtown area. Mm-hmm. And 30 beds at their Dundas Street headquarters in Old East Village. And so the mayor left that out of the budget. I should correct myself. It was in the budget, but was not funded. And that was with the intent to start a discussion amongst councillors. He recognized that, you know, there would be differing opinions on this, but he personally was not comfortable in having the city fund this off of tax dollars.
Sure. $4.5 million, quite a bit.
Exactly. That would be about half a percentage point on a tax increase. So not insignificant, right? Mm-hmm. And they were looking to lobby the federal and provincial government to see if they could come fund some of this. So going into this public meeting, that was sort of the lay of the land. But just a couple days before, the local government MP, Peter Fragiscados, London North Center, announced that while things are not completely finalized yet, London would be eligible to receive $5 million over 2 years from the new $250 million encampment fund that the federal government announced in the budget in the spring.
Okay.
You know, city staff have said, and they said ahead of comments at this public meeting, that things still need to be sorted out about what exactly this funding can go towards. There's questions of if it can be used towards operating dollars, since that's typically the province's purview. But, you know, it can go towards capital projects, enhancing or expanding, buying different, you know, expensive things, renovations, things of that nature. And in addition, the federal government announced a top up to an existing program that the city's drawing money from. They were allocated $33 million over a 10-year period starting in 2019. But for the final 4 years of that, you know, 2024 to 2028, the city's getting an extra $11 million. And that can also go towards nonprofits in the communities addressing homelessness. So all that to say, long story short, Kevin Dickens, the deputy city manager for social development in the city, started off the meeting to try and bring that update to people that, yes, we will probably be able to draw on some of this funding to fund this pitch from ARC. Having said that, absolutely. Having said that, the vast majority of the speakers there were still there for ARC Aid. You know, they were happy to hear this news, but they also just wanted to, you know, sing the praises of ARC Aid. Many people who have been through there, many volunteers, a couple of employees there, all singing their praises and basically just saying how much they need the ARC in the community.
Sure. Well, we discuss homelessness so often on this podcast at lfpress.com. And so, I mean, it's obvious these services are needed. So, okay, so that's covered. And we're not using our tax dollars for it. It looks like it's coming from the province.
From the federal government. That was a sticking point. The feds wanted to emphasize that the goal with this, the one fund, the new $250 million one, they wanted to sign agreements with the provinces to help match the federal government's funding. Mr. Fragiscados told me, ideally, if Ontario had signed on to this agreement, London would have received $10 million. Again, things are not finalized. They probably will be shortly because it was a priority to get this funding out before winter.
Sure.
But there was a bit of a snafu there.
We'll see how it shakes out. Okay. Moving on to the Extreme Clean program, which is another thing that counselors discussed. What is this program? Because there was talk about hoarding, pest management, in community housing, right?
Absolutely. So this is run by the VHA Home Healthcare in the city, their local branch. And the program was initially funded by the province, but funding from them ended in 2022. And sort of the city sought to bridge that funding until this multi-year budget. However, in a 8-7 vote of council, the city opted not to fund this for 4 years. Let me take a step back and explain. The program, Extreme Clean and Hoarding, is meant to help vulnerable residents, let's say low-income residents, disabled residents, maybe elderly people, prepare, help them with hoarding, obviously. That's its own beast. But it's also to help people prepare for pest control. If any of our listeners or readers, live in an apartment building themselves and have maybe had to deal with pest control, I know I have at one point in my life. It's a serious undertaking. You have to move all your furniture around, you have to pack up your belongings. And if you're physically disabled or maybe a little bit too frail, you're not exactly in a good position to move a couch across the room or, pack up your furniture. So this is where that program's meant to come in at a cost of, I believe it was a $400,000 a year. And so there were a few people who spoke to it at this public meeting, basically emphasizing those points that this is desperately needed for some people in the community, and even as a prevention to eviction. If some folks who can't do this for themselves are in this situation for too long and maybe pests build up, they can get evicted. And this was sort of billed as a homelessness prevention issue and a way to maintain affordable housing in the city. Again, having said that, Kevin Dickens, as I mentioned earlier, started off the meeting by saying that, and apparently this was very new information, that the city had reached an agreement with the province to help fund this program. So that's also taken care of. The city's contributing in some way. It was mentioned that it's being done through existing dollars combined with provincial dollars, so there will be no tax impact. That's seemingly covered, but again, that didn't stop people from singing its praises, and it's a necessity.
Well, that was the point of the meeting. Let's talk about some community grants. Those seem to be taking a hit, or the proposal is to basically cut that funding in half. What are community grants? What kinds of things are included in that?
So this is the Capital and Innovation Community Grant, which in total was about $500,000. And it's basically awarded to nonprofits, community groups in the city for those sort of bigger projects that, would be a serious hill to climb for some of these, at times, very small groups to handle by themselves. I know, for example, one person who addressed counselors at this meeting was a recipient during the last cycle and was talking about how this helped them. The organization is called Queer Intersections. It's sort of a support agency for LGBTQ plus people in the city. This grant allowed them to have a physical space in the city, to have a
Like an
physical
office.
location. Exactly. And funny enough, just in a few days, they'll be having a grand opening of said space. And this person was sort of joking about how, I kind of wish we had the grand opening before this talk, so counselors for themselves could see, what these dollars are paying for. But cuts to this stream are on the table, either partly or fully.
And this is going to
And
affect several, I mean, a group, lots of nonprofits in the city, right? But the whole budget for this is $500,000, and the proposal is to cut it down to $250. Is that final yet, or not quite?
not quite, counselors, if they so choose, can still come to restore this funding. This was based on a sometimes contentious debate earlier this year. For context, the mayor formed a working group to sort of find little savings that any little savings that council could find within the city budget, in the wake of some of these larger tax increases. And one of the suggestions was to cut these community grants, arguing that at least some of the larger recipients of this could, replace it with fundraising and those sorts of things, and questioning the role of the city being involved in this process. In addition to that, which sort of slipped through discussion at this meeting, but sort of lumped in, it was talked about during the same discussions at council when they were hashing this out, pausing the neighborhood decision-making program, which, if readers or listeners don't know, you probably have seen something about it in the last few years. This lets people not only vote, but submit ideas for improvements in their neighborhoods, benches, playgrounds, things of those nature, and lets quadrants of the city vote on which of these projects gets awarded funding in their section of the city. So that's being put on pause for the next 3 years as well, after the winners of this program just got announced a few days ago. All that to say, there was sort of the critique at the public meeting. I know off the top of my head, Maureen Cassidy, former councillor and now lead executive at Pillar Nonprofit, was pointing out how, the city is relying on nonprofits more than ever right now, especially with the homeless response and, supportive housing and things of those nature. And a quote of hers was that it feels like the city is telling these nonprofits to run a marathon while taking away their shoes.
To cut, half of that money, they're cutting $250,000 in the grand scheme of the budget. Does that make much of a difference?
No.
No.
There's not much else to say beyond that. And there was. That was recognized by counselors themselves, including those who were in support of these cuts. I know the famous phrase by Deputy Mayor Sean Lewis was, "How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?" So that's a pretty minuscule amount in the scheme of things. The operating budget of the city going into next year, 2025, is 1.4 billion. So councillors themselves recognized it, but also members of the public did too. There was one individual who I quoted in a recent story of mine who appeared virtually before councillors and said, "Okay, so you're going to give $672 million to the police, but cut back these grants that haven't even kept up with inflation in recent years." What kind of vision does council really have for the city?
Well, speaking of the police, that's what I was going to talk about next. The police budget is always a big one. It always gets a lot of criticism or a lot of help, from both sides, really. There's lots of chatter. So they're getting 100, the police are getting $168 million a year over the next 4 years. And that was, of course, set back in February during the multi-year budget deliberations. But there was some criticism from Londoners about a lack of scrutiny over that budget. What were they saying about that?
Yeah, so the critiques haven't really changed from back in February and all since then, that people were upset that council didn't really seem to have the appetite to change this budget around so much, in light of the fact that they asked the library, London Transit, Museum London, all of these different agencies to find savings and present the most modest, increases they could. And so you heard a couple people talk about that at the meeting the other day. There was disappointment that there wasn't more discussion, and there were calls to look into this funding again. Council tried back in February several times to detract fairly modest amounts from the police budget.
And
Nothing
did
too
they?
drastic.
Yeah, and did they?
They did not. Several councillors tried. I believe it might have been in the neighborhood of half a dozen times in different ways to subtract from the police budget, but it failed every time. And the common critique was that, well, the common fear, frankly, was that if council stirred the pot too much, and London police took this to the provincial tribunal and ruled in police's favor, that could leave the city in a hole where they'd potentially have to make up for money that wasn't allocated during the budget. That was at least part of the reason that council didn't want to touch that budget too much. But on the other hand, it's fair to say there are public safety concerns in the community. And I know we've
Sure.
talked about this on the podcast before.
Yep.
Response times with the police are really bad, especially if they're non-priority calls. And the police themselves have readily admitted this.
So there's a need. There is a need for more budget. It's a tricky budget time's tricky because everybody needs money and you got to figure out who gets it and who doesn't. So that's it's a hard one. There was also criticism about police spending $140,000 on a PR firm just to campaign for that budget increase back in February. What was going on with that, and what was some of the criticism surrounding that earlier this week?
Right. So my colleague and friend of the podcast, Dale Carruthers, uncovered through a Freedom of Information request that the London Police Services Board had spent $104,000 to a crisis PR firm by the name of Navigator, basically to adopt a communication plan to help sell this, record budget. Now, they argue that that was necessary because the police board didn't really have a communications arm of its own compared to, London Transit or, different agencies in the city. But in the wake of a lack of debate and, in some Londoners' opinions, a lack of scrutiny on this police budget, this sort of was further insult to injury that the police were spending more tax dollars to convince councillors to give them even more tax dollars to the 100th degree. So that, of course, caught the ire of the public and even some councillors at this public meeting. It was addressed. This happened a few months ago now that this story was uncovered. But there was one particular Londoner who pointed out that amid this campaign, the slogan was, London is no longer a safe city, pointing to some statistics. But I know one resident at this meeting said those statistics were kind of cherry-picked and that, London's overall crime rate was relatively stagnant, if not like slightly on the decline, which sort of flew in the face of that campaign slogan.
Slightly misleading, yeah.
A little bit. And I should back up to say council did weigh in on this PR firm matter a couple of weeks ago. Councillor Skylar Frank brought forward a motion to council to request that these outside agencies, city-funded agencies, not use tax dollars for these kinds of lobbying purpose. And now I say request because legally the city can't, require them to do anything. And now, to be clear, the London Police Board didn't do anything wrong here. It was totally within their purview to use this money in whichever the way they wanted. It was their money. But it was a bad look, at least according to the public and some councillors. Now, these councillors wanted to request that agencies not do this in this way anymore because they were worried about inequity. London Police has one of the bigger coffers among agencies in the city, undoubtedly, and even more so recently. And they were worried about agencies using tactics like this and basically drowning out the efforts of other agencies in the city.
Yeah, who
And
can't afford to do something like that? Sure.
right, or might feel pressured to do something like that. However, council voted not to do anything on that front. They didn't want to make this request, and they were arguing, well, lobbying happens all the time and from everywhere. Right now, we're lobbying Ottawa and Queen's Park for, homelessness funding. So, lobbying's not a bad thing. And there were some comments made that, well, they weren't convincing me, they weren't strong-arming me to support this budget. I came to that decision on my own. So the public was very upset about this, but ultimately council brushed it off.
Okay, so what's next? Where do we go from here? There's a meeting tonight, and then when is this whole budget finalized?
Councillors are sitting down with the mayor's budget on November 21st. Then this is their chance to make any amendments or changes to what the mayor set out, and which includes the things we talked about. And that's sort of their formal opportunity to weigh in under this new strong mayor powers operation. And there's an additional meeting on November 22nd if, things run long on the 21st, or, they're not able to address everything. But that's it for, where council gets to formally weigh in. After that, council will have a meeting on the 27th, basically to finalize these changes. And Mayor Josh Morgan has signaled that by December 2nd, he will formally signal if he intends to veto any changes that council made on the 21st and the 22nd during those talks. He didn't do so in February, and he's sort of broadly spoken about how he wants to respect the will of council. So it remains to be seen if that will happen this year. It looks likely that it won't, but again, we'll see. And basically, the budget will be set in stone by early December if things go smoothly.
Well, we'll definitely be watching your reporting on all of this. I know you're spending hours and hours being there and reporting on it. So thank you for making time for us today, Jack. You can check out all of his stories at lfpress.com. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you very much.